Thank you. Okay. Welcome everyone to the ORAN software community meeting for January 20th, 2021. William Diego is the scribe for today's meeting. We've turned recording on. We attach the recordings for each meeting. If anyone is, has any concerns about recording, please raise them or go ahead and leave the call. And but we've been doing this for a while. Thank you, William, for scribing. William's got another week, the 27th, and then starting in February, Ganesh, you're next on the list for February.
All right, Jack.
Okay, so make sure you get the handoff from William.
Sure, yeah.
And we'll keep going through the list. Okay. Next is roll call. I'm Jack Murray from AT&T. Jinri?
Yes, good morning, Jack and everyone. This is Jinri from China Mobile.
Okay. David? I don't see David, but he often joins a couple minutes late. John Paul?
Yes, morning, Jack. Hello, everybody. John Paul from Ericsson here.
Morning. Masafumi-san?
Yes, hi, Jack and everyone. This is Masafumi from Docomo.
Huha?
Hello, this is Huha from Nokia.
William?
Hello, this is William from Monash.
Ganesh?
Hi, everyone, this is Ganesh.
And Vishwa. Okay, so we have a quorum, so we can continue with the meeting. Next item on the agenda is to review the minutes of the prior meeting. Prior meeting being January 13th. You see the recordings attached. Here is the minutes as taken. Does anyone have any questions, concerns around the minutes from the January 13th, 2021 meeting? Okay. If there's no concerns, then William, can you make a motion to accept the minutes?
Yes, I made a motion.
Thank you. William. Do I have a second?
This is John Paul. I can second.
All right, John Paul, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
You are saying aye.
John Paul says aye.
Rene saying aye.
All those against say nay. Okay, we've approved the minutes from January 13th. And we'll slide back up to our current agenda for January 20th. Okay. Next discussion is, does anyone have anything new for today's agenda? Okay. If there's nothing new, then we'll continue on. Release votes and approvals. Is there any open items that we need to bring forward? Maddie, are we gonna create a new repo for the work with ONF?
Yes, we will eventually. We haven't gotten to the point of exactly deciding do we need more than one and what to call them.
Okay. All right. Then we'll, so if there's no one has any other things they want to bring for votes or approvals yet, then we'll continue on to the copyright discussion. All right, some progress there. You know, I talked last week about the different, some of the different companies that we've talked to. We've gotten some feedback. So there's kind of an outstanding question to the EC and the ORAN legal team on the copy, on the larger copyright issues relative to the IPR that they're looking into. Right now it's not as much the declaration, but some procedures and capabilities and you know, does the relative to the IPR statement that they're looking into. So it's a little bit out of my hands right now till they get clarification on, you know, the ORAN IPR questions. So I'm circling again, waiting for that. The EC meeting is going on now, and I gotta go over there afterwards and see if I can get an update. The that's kind of where we're at on that. I haven't heard any new updates on the 3GPP part. And so that's kind of where we're at right now on that. So
Jack, the question that the EC is looking at, can you maybe elaborate a bit more? Is it on the difference between, say, granting copyright and granting rights to use patents and that sort of thing? Or what sort of IPR are they considering?
Well, I think that the question, and I'm not a legal expert, but it has to do with how the ORAN Alliance was granted copyright permission or copyright license or things, and how they can grant that forward. So I think there's just an outstanding question. It is clarification in the IPR policy about granting, not that I don't think it's that they get a copyright permission to the material, but can they grant it forward to others? And we're just waiting for clarification. Unfortunately, Stefan's had a death in the family, and so we're working into, you know, getting that resolved.
Sure. Okay. Thanks.
Sorry, Jack.
Please
go ahead, Jenry.
No. I'm just. I wrote some emails regarding this. The issue that Jack mentioned just now. Probably this is wrong, but just for information, just for my understanding. I mean, my understanding is that in the declaration document that Jack has already forwarded among our community. For that declaration, it's mainly about copyright, right? But there is nothing related to IPR policy stated in that declaration. So someone is asking, whether that declaration could somehow include any copyright, so IPR related description. That's my understanding. I don't know whether this is in line with, Jack's understanding, but Just for information. Probably this is long again.
Well, yeah. So in the IPR agreement that company signed with ORAN, my understanding is how you know, they spend a lot of time addressing patents, but part of IPR is copyright, and there's just some question about ORAN getting, you know, the copyrights enabled to it, but can it pass it forward? And that's what, as far as I know, that's what the clarification's about. You know, the declaration is clear. It's just, it's not passing any IPR rights. And I think generally.
By IPR rights, you mean a patent, right?
Patent rights, correct. It doesn't deal with
anything. Yeah.
It's only to do with copyright. Yes.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
And so it's just getting that clarification, you know, from the legal teams. Like always, it comes down to wording. And the question is, because that the copyright is part of the IPR ORAN policy, do they need to go back and change the wording in that to be clearer? And if you have to go through that, it takes a little bit of time. So that's what we're trying to get clarification on.
Okay, sorry, Jack, just when you go back in those conversations, could I ask, please, that you seek clarification on the patent rights as well? Because it would appear that if someone in OSC was to create some code that infringed a patent, then basically depending, and then that may or may not be used by a third party, then it is unclear who would be sued basically by the patent holder. If the patent was part of something that was contributed to ORAN Alliance by an ORAN Alliance member, then I imagine that would be covered by FRAND with royalty, in which case the damages may not be so much. But if the patent infringement was claimed by somebody who wasn't a member of ORAN Alliance, then it wouldn't be bound by the FRAND cap and could be exorbitant. So it puts us at huge risk. So Jack, please, sooner we get clarification.
All right. So let me start by saying I'm not a lawyer, but this is the way it's been explained. In the U.S., and I can't speak about the different parts of the world, but in the U.S., patent infringement damages are related to the, trying to think of the right word they use, but from my standpoint, it's the practice of selling it with the patent violation in it. Just writing about it, describing it, having it implemented in software is not a patent infringement. Patent infringement comes when you practice that, meaning that you build it into a product that you sell. That's when that occurs. And so just generating the software is not a patent infringement. It's when you apply that software to a product in the market to compete with that patented application solution. That's when infringement happens. In the U.S., that's the way it's been explained to me.
Okay,
And so now in Apache, if you're the contributor of that software, you're granting rights for the software you create, but you do not grant patents for anyone else who didn't create that software. So any Apache software ever written could have somebody who has a patent that that it infringes on outside of the person who generated it. And so that's just a normal part of open source, and that's been around since the beginning. Now, the declaration that we have grants no permission, doesn't grant any permissions really, or is not a license really. What it really is, a declaration of how ORAN the ORAN Alliance sees people using their copyrighted material and where they think it's okay to use it without them pursuing copyright. And it's, again, it's only copyright, it has nothing to do with patent rights, legal copyright enforcement on that material. And so the public declaration basically is not a license. It's simply a statement in the public forum, which says it's okay to use our copyrighted material in this way. We will not, pursue copyright infringement and enforcement against you if you use it in this way. And if you state that in the public forum, at least with the legal teams that have described it, basically it would become hard to go to court and try to get enforcement from anybody, because you've come out publicly in a public statement and said that this use of the copyright information is an intended and accepted use. So that's why it's a declaration. It's not a license. It doesn't actually do anything other than make it a publicly clear that it would be very hard to legally sue anyone or pursue it around those uses that they find acceptable. This very complicated landscape. So I don't know if that helps, John, but that's my current understanding.
Well, it would appear then that we should at least put some kind of a health warning on our OSC code to say that this is quite likely not usable as commercial software, because it is possible and indeed quite likely that it infringes IPR from someone who is a member of ORAN Alliance, in which case that IPR would need to be licensed separately under FRAND license, or someone who is not a member of ORAN Alliance, in which case there's no cap on the possible damages.
But that's the same as every piece of open source software.
To some extent, but this software is based on specs, which are based on standards, so it complicates the issue.
John, I'm definitely not the legal expert. However, to my understanding, or say if I remember correctly, the case that you described just now, I believe it has been kind of discussed before when the ORAN legal team, working with the ARF legal team, working on the ORAN software license. So I would encourage you to go back and review or turn to your legal team and Ericsson's legal team, and then revisit that ORAN software license, and hopefully you can find the answer there. But apparently no one here from from this call is the expert. So I personally would say that that's not, spend too much time here on this issue. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. It's just that we've been repeatedly asked for clarification on this from the legal team. We keep hearing that the people on this call are not the legal experts, and as such, we're just not getting a straight answer. We need a straight answer at this stage. Thanks.
But what I'm saying is the straight answer you're asking for is not an open source issue. I think your company legal team has to decide, can they use open source in their products? So that's really a company specific. What I'm saying, my only point is all open source has this same problem. There's almost no technical thing you can build that there's not somebody who probably claims some patent somewhere about some aspect of it. There are just so many patents out there, right? You need to talk to your legal team, because I'm not trying to set precedents for open source is all I'm trying to say. So you really need to talk to Ericsson's legal team about how they want you to practice open source. All right.
But I do believe that part of the answer is, is born in an open software license. So, yeah.
Okay. That's why I'm thanks, suggesting. Jack and Jenner. Yeah, I've done both of those things. So thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on to ORAN related business. Jinri, is there anything new or
other items? Yeah, so give me a moment. So I think there are quite a few things. So the first old thing is that, so first I'm sorry, I missed the first two calls in the new year. And then, but one thing I believe that everyone has already been aware is there, publish and release on our PR and blog post, right? I think it was out last Monday. So the first thing. And I also forwarded the link in the Reflector. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is regarding the MVP, which has been heatedly discussed in the ORAN Alliance. But basically the major progress recently is that the TSC has set up a dedicated committee, which is called MVPC, MVP committee, to lead the MVP work. Okay, so they still plan to, publish their MVP planning. I think probably after the virtual face to face. And then it's expected that there will be two outputs, or let's say two releases for ORAN Alliance this year. Three releases. The first one will be for February, okay. And the second one will be for June, and the last one will be for November or December, right? For this MVPC, yes. Yeah, I think that's the major thing. And the second thing is regarding the virtual face-to-face, which is about to be held from next Monday. And Jack, if it's okay, could you please let me share my screen? Probably I can go very quickly the current schedule and current agenda that I have been collecting. Okay.
Jinri, before you go to the face-to-face for the MVP, I am assuming that de-release does not get affected, right? It's not affected for MVP.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. Nope.
Okay, so we don't have to worry about it, at least for the moment.
Yeah. And then give me a moment. Where is my... Yeah, can you see my screen?
Yes.
Yeah, this is a bit crazy. So, but basically this Excel is the arrangement for the virtual face-to-face. The row that I highlighted here is our OSC part, okay? So Richard, probably you can double check. Oh, I can also forward this offline to you.
Yeah, no, we've checked this already.
Oh, you're already checked this? Okay.
Yeah.
So January 25th. So, but basically, so first thing is that, the virtual face-to-face, we are asked for 2 weeks, next week and the following week. But on Friday, in the following week, it's reserved for TSC meeting. So the first thing. And the second thing is that, as you can see, every day from next Monday, every day, we have three time slots for the face-to-face, okay? Starting from 7, if you can see my mouse. Let me zoom in a little bit. Yeah. So starting from 7 a.m. EST till 10 a.m. EST, okay? And then back to our OSC part, the first one that we cleared. You can see we have this session, OSC initiated session, the demo showcase cherry features and the security badging progress. on Monday. So this is their two sessions. And then we also have these D-release features and SML project features in the following Monday, okay, February 1st. Then these four sessions are initiated by our OSC. And other than that, we are also invited by other working groups or focus groups to the sessions, including, as you can see here, MVP discussion. Okay, and MVP discussion and SDG security coding. So if you follow my mouse here, okay, this one, I mean for security one, it will happen on February 3rd. Okay, and then, yes. But I have to say, even today, the agenda is not complete because I still lack of the input from several, from quite a few working groups. And hopefully I can get it updated within a few, within these 2 days. And, by the way, so you have this, you can see this, right? We have three Webex and we have the link. You can see here, we have this link, okay. So I think, yeah, probably another thing is that, this is not decided yet, I mean, to be honest, but everyone is expecting a huge discussion on the MVP. And therefore, for this, currently, I kind of reserved quite a few sessions almost every day for MVP discussion. But basically, I mean, if there is the MVP discussion, it will always happen in the last time slot, in the third hour, on every day, okay. So the reason is to accommodate the one of the MVP lead, which is Susie, who is based in the West Coast, okay. Otherwise, it will be too early for her. And then you can see we have this MVP discussion, MVP discussion, MVP discussion, blah blah blah. Okay, okay. Quite a few.
But
I think that's it. Yeah, that's it. So I will. I mean. Forward is to check in and retry.
Right, but what I've seen so far is we're doing demos on Monday, which are going to be led by Felix. Right, Felix, correct. Are you ready for that?
Okay, I don't see Felix here.
Okay, well, Ritwick, you have to.
You know, I did inform him. But,
Last week he mentioned. You know, he'd be ready for this, but, Monday's, a few days away.
We're just replaying videos, right? And I think he just has to make sure that the transition from demo to demo happens kind of smoothly. Right. People understand what he's doing.
Right. And enough upfront explaining what the, what the demonstration is actually showing, right? What the setup is. The second item is the security badge.
Jack. For the first item, so Richard mentioned just now, we played the video. I'm just not sure whether, the bandwidth is, wide enough for the WebEx to play this feature. Do you want to have a test?
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Otherwise, we...
Yeah.
There's no other way, right? We can't give live demos for all the projects. Yeah, we can do a test.
Okay, so let me...
Just remember, video doesn't always play very well over conferencing.
Yeah,
that's right. But it'll work. It's just not as smooth as you would like. It's not, but we'll get there. All right?
Okay, let me Jack, take a note here and Richard, let me contact with you, on this kind of preview. Okay.
Tracy had a question on what I asked about earlier, Jack.
Yes, I saw that. I was going to go to that next. So, So I think, Tracy, you were asking why isn't the D release affected by the MVP?
Yeah, I guess I didn't understand the statement because certainly the C release was, And we are trying to align, you know, ORAN specifications and OSC release D. So why would it not be affected?
What I mean is that, I mean, I don't expect that our D release planning will be affected by the MVP discussion on this virtual face-to-face. Because I mean, and yes, there is a big progress on this. Because I mean,
oh, okay. Based on, oh, Jimmy, now I understand. Based
on,
okay.
Based on previous experience, I mean, to be honest, the MVP discussion is a little bit not so efficient, I have to say. So I'm not sure whether they can come to some conclusion which could impact our D release planning or not. I'm not so optimistic on this, to be honest. But let's see.
Yeah, I think some of the preliminary discussions.
But that's part of the reason that I put kind of our D release discussion in the following week. I do expect probably at least there is something that we can kind of draw from this MVP discussion happened in the first week. But the latest news is that actually is not sure whether MVP discussion will be open to everyone this time. This is the latest news that I got. It's not decided yet. So there is still some uncertainty. I mean, it's possible that this MVP discussion will be held in a kind of closed manner. I don't know.
Okay.
It will be clear.
Well, some of the preliminary discussions, there has been an effort to, propose for, MVP that around the same date as the D release, be somewhat influenced by the D release and vice versa. So we'll see.
No, Shurkin. There you go.
I guess what I'm kind of hoping to get out of this is what use cases are.
There you go.
Hello. I see there's someone's talking.
The bridge.
Let's see.
Yeah, Jindri, I wanted to understand like the use cases that OSC needs to implement as part of that MVP. If MVP specifies that, okay, we have to do network slicing, then we have to bring that to the table in OSC to see how we can make that happen. You know, because it has to kind of insert it in OSC as some tangible piece of software, right? I mean, you could have discussions in MVP, but if I can't build software around that MVP, then it's a no-op for me, right? It's a no-op for OSC at least. So yeah. That's the linkage I'm trying to see. What use cases are they actually talking about? And are those use cases actually implementable in OSC? If I cannot do anything in OSC, then I don't. That's the connection I'm kind of missing. And I don't know if there is a rep from OSC going to the MVP planning sessions or not. Maybe you are, Jindri, but
you
have some representation there. Now, Susie is there, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, Susie is there. So, okay. Sorry. Thanks for this. I mean, this reminds me of one thing. One thing I forgot to mention is that for MVPC, it's actually requested by TSC that every working group should send a representative to attend their regular meeting. I'm not saying this virtual face-to-face. This is not decided yet. But at least for their regular meeting, there should be one working group representative. And I do believe that our OSC could also send one representative if we want, because we already have Susie there. Okay, so this is one thing. And the second thing is that, so as I said, so today, I mean, originally, as you can see from my screen, I put the MVP discussion there. However, according to the latest news, it's not sure that whether this will be kept or not. Okay, probably will happen just only to a close group. Not sure, let's say. However, let's suppose that, I mean, if this MVP discussion is open to everyone, and I don't know, Rachel, whether you want to say present something there, because I mean, from your statement description just now, I understood this criticality that the use case is important to our software.
Yeah.
So if we can, yeah. I mean, let me finish. I mean, let's say, because if this MVP will be open, then it will also happen in the first week, right? Next week, the first week of the virtual face-to-face. Then if we can bring some presentation, some requirements, and kind of request the MVP to, at least from MVPC level, decide, make a decision on which use case that we need to go, then mm-hmm. I think this will greatly help our planning. That's my understanding.
I kind of agree with that. I think, you know, at the end of the day, right, the MVP is a mechanism in my mind to prioritize which of the UCTG use cases are actually going to make progress. Because it translates to the E2 protocols, it translates to the A1 policies.
Yes.
Right now there are like 13 use cases. And if you look, working group 3 is only working on one use case, right?
Yes. Task steering. Yes.
Now, what is the second use case? MVP needs to kind of tell us that, right? Okay, out of all the discussions, MVP says, okay, the second use case would be MIMO or network slicing. Based on that, then the working groups will start their specification work. And then OSC would follow through from there.
Yes, yes.
I think that's the idea, Ritwik and Jenry, but I think the mechanism for prioritizing, and this was the MVP team's creation, it was the operator survey. And now based on the operator survey, the MVP is going into, you know, more detail and hopefully better alignment.
It makes sense, yeah.
Yes. So how about this, Rachel? Follow up with Susie on this. And if they eventually decide, open this to everyone, next week, then let's bring some presentation, some ideas there.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello. Sorry. There was an incoming call just now. Just came online.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So let's move forward here. I think the issue is we need somebody at the MVP discussions, you know, as Jinri said, that we need somebody. We need to sort that out. Susie just isn't here enough on this call to cover all the issues.
So, yeah, it's too early for her.
Yeah, so we need somebody else to participate in that process, all right? So let's take that on. Ritwik, have a discussion with people.
Maybe I can tag team with Tracy.
And then, you know, I'm not asking you. I'm saying we need to figure somebody out who would cover that, right? For the badging is another item that's covering who's going to run through that, because Trishan isn't a member of ORAN and can't participate there on the badging, and he's been pulling some of that together. So who's going to be our lead there?
Oh, so Trishan cannot participate in that? I
see. Correct.
That is a bit difficult, I think.
He, you know, Linux Foundation is not an ORAN member.
I think you need, I guess every PTL has to provide some information to the badging webpage, the OSC badging webpage.
That's what we've been asking for. And we're supposed to do more progress by this week.
Right. Then somebody just has to kind of walk through that page saying what are the 69 points, where each of these projects are with respect to the 69 points. That's essentially, I think, Might take 10, 15 minutes.
Who can do that?
But that would
maybe I'll talk with Trishan and then see how much information is actually there right now. Is it a whole lot or Trishan? Either.
She was earlier.
Yeah, I'll work with Trishan to see what can be done here. I think Amy can probably do that.
Yeah, well, I actually saw Amy's name here.
Yes, right. Well, she knows what the requirements are, what we need, and maybe even Felix can help.
Yeah, rep.
But the question is for the PTLs. How many PTLs have gotten the time to at least start the badging, you know, updating their badging information? I was asking everyone to at least start by this week so that we can be prepared for this meeting Monday. I just haven't been able to go and take a look and see what progress has been made. So, you know, for all the projects, if the PTLs can at least go and make sure that they've started that process. So when we review it with Amy on Monday, that, you know, we get a view of where each project is, even if it's, you know, just at the beginning of the questionnaire, but at least it will, you know, if not, you kind of get a zero, right? I'm hoping that each project would at least not get a zero in the badging. That's what I'm asking, okay? Does any PTL have a problem with at least beginning the process?
And I guess we could also use that as an opportunity for the PTLs to ask Amy any questions, because when I started looking at it, it was a little cryptic. Some of those questions were a little cryptic for me.
No problem. So we certainly can do that. We have an hour slot. So, and then if other people have questions we can't get it done during that slot, let me know and we'll set up an additional meeting with Amy at some point to review that and help people. There's also other projects that have gone through that process already that we can maybe find people who have been through it to help. All right. Anything else? All right. So what other meeting? So Ritwick, what about, all right, there's your D release meeting. That is going to be February 1st.
Yes.
And then followed by an SMO discussion on February 1st. And then I see there's a security coding OSC. Who's covering that?
This is initiated by SDG, security task group. And this so far is a task group.
Right, but who from OSC is going to be there to talk about this?
I think any PTO or the secretary, the RSEC lead, or us, I think anyone.
This one is new. I'm not sure what this actually means. Security coding is what? What does that stand for?
Okay, I don't know this. This is simply copied this from right. I think Sebastian.
Yeah. It's February 3rd. Now, the problem we have is we still have our TSC meeting next week.
Oh.
Right?
On That's
Wednesday.
Right. That's right.
That'll be the 27th. And I don't think there... If you go to the 27th, Ritwick, is there any OSC requirements on the 27th? No. So there's no direct conflict for most of the people on this call. All right, but
February 3rd, Wednesday.
Wednesday, right? No, that's the second week. We have another week between now and then.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean for the February 3rd, this session will happen, it's from 7 to 8.
Right.
It's one hour earlier. Yeah.
Yeah. But if we don't raise people's awareness, no one's going to be there, right? Which would look bad because if someone from the security coding shows up and no one from OSC shows up, so just sticking something on the calendar doesn't help unless we can talk through who needs to be there and why, right? So, but we still have, we can cover it more next week, but we need to get prepared for who should be going and why should they be going to that session.
Yeah, and then I think this is also seen by me. I will get this AP. I will reach a security task group co-chair and asking them, I mean, more information regarding this session. And then ask them, I mean, what kind of preparation that we should make? And who from this our OSC are they expecting to attend? Okay, I will reach them.
Okay.
So AP on me. Okay. Okay, so this is about the, I do have one question and the probably the last thing. So the question is that, do we have a dedicated wiki page to, I mean, for the material? For this virtual face-to-face, in particular, given that we have this fourth session, right?
We've not created one up to now.
Okay. I'm not familiar with this, or who can help to create this?
If you talk to Trishan.
Trishan. Okay. I can talk to him and on an AP.
Well, okay. If it's on the wiki, can't we just create a page? I mean, we create pages on the wiki all the time. And we create it as a file place and do it. Where do you want it?
No, it's simply just a file page. So you mean I can do it easily, right?
You should be able to. You should be able to go to a page and hit and have the create button if you're logged in.
Okay. I will do that. Okay, good. Okay. No problem. I think this should be as easy as for the Oran Wiki. Right. Okay. And the last thing is, I mean, the Oran related business. The last thing is that, I mean, during previous EC call, Jack, we were actually requested to kind of to see the current status on the talk positions. So two things related. So first is we do have three vacant seats and we need to recruit the person, okay. And the second thing is that, I think I somehow mentioned this before, and you see there was a re-election, EC election, and the result has already come out. And previous EC member has gone and the new members came. So just not sure how this would impact our current TOC competition.
Well, we typically, turn that over, in the April timeframe.
April.
Right?
Yeah.
That's been, because that's when we kind of got started, the end of March, beginning, we kind of kicked it off April 1st. One of the issues that we have to address is the fact that the Verizon has not been participating, and so I would
petition, and they were not EC anymore,
right? So petition to remove them from the TOC, and so that would open up a fourth slot. But there's the 6 of 6, right? So the ECTSC gets the name, the first six, which Verizon is one of those. And then there's the additional six where we just did, there was a minimum criteria to be asked on to fill those seats, in the sense of contributing resources and code and activity. And so we only filled three of those slots last year. And the three that have been filled have been quite, you know, good participating and contributing to the efforts. And so we hope to, you know, review. And, you know, those seats are kind of open for broader election by the TSC. So
that's okay, where we're at. Yeah. Okay, I see. And okay. So I think that's all from my side.
Okay. And I see Ritwik answered Brian's question about the maintenance release in February is the C maintenance release. And, you know, while we're working on the D release, that comes out in June. All right. So, Brian, we do that because as we rush to push things out, at some point you identify some defects in the release, but there's no time to fix them and still make the release date. So we document them, and then we take another month to take a look at the defects that may be in the JIRA and see what we can fix while the developers kind of have a low period while we get prepared for the requirements for the next release. So it's just, you know, an opportunity to try to keep the backlog of JIRA defects manageable. So that's kind of why we've adopted that model. All right. Any other questions to do with this? Okay. Well, we've burned through most of the hour here. The next item really, let's see if I go back to, you know, if we go back to really the next item is really the maintenance release plan. But if Felix is not here, today, I'll have to reach out and touch base with getting an update. But if, I don't know, does anyone have, we didn't have a lot of items on this maintenance release. We had a couple. Does anyone know of any outstanding issues with anything on the maintenance release? Okay. Then really the focus has to be on items for the D release. We don't have much time here, Ritwik, but is, you know, next week we will start off by going directly to talking about the D release. But is there anything you want to highlight so that, you know, so that people can think about as part of the discussion, Ritwik, for the D release?
Yeah, just one thing is we've been discussing this new use case on this RU recovery and failure. So we've got some call flows. We're shoring that up. So I think, you know, everybody is helping here, all PTLs, Martin and David and folks, Radisys. So I think that's the new thing that we want to kind of discuss. And I think it's coming together. Yeah, so that's something I'd like to discuss next week.
All right. Overall, I guess the question is for the DU, how do we assess where we are on the overall implementation versus the specifications? So, you know, 01, you know, the different interfaces that are required to talk to the ODU, how do we rate how far we've progressed on each piece with these kinds of capabilities?
Yeah, we need to create a scorecard, I think. And then, you know, each PTL needs to cross-check with that scorecard which specification has been implemented. For example, E2AP or E2SM, The O1 spec, I think, is still getting put together, right? So let's try and put something together. I know you'd asked for this scorecard last release also.
Yes, because, I'm going to pick on the two modules that are kind of most advanced at the lower level are the ODU and the near real-time RIC. So the question is, for all those interfaces and specifications, where are we for those two items? Right. I think it's important to understand, how they're progressing. Now, the OCU is a bigger problem because we don't have, a fundamentally working OCU. But eventually, we have to have that same discussion. How do we get every component in the stack a working implementation, for the specifications if you're going to demonstrate use cases? So I'm just concerned, and like in ODU, we have ODU low and ODU high. So in some cases, you're talking to the ODU high, and then it's an internal interface to ODU low. But, we're missing our opportunity to make this work, right? So we're now in a D release, and how effectively has the near real-time RIC and the ODU implemented any of the specifications? I think this is a fundamental question to what we're working on.
Yeah, I don't see Thorolf here, but the near real-time RIC is implementing E2AP 1.0, except for a couple of messages. Like, I think there was an E2 reset message, something that is not implemented. And for the D release, they're working on implementing the E2AP 1.1.
Yes, that's the case. 1.1 is coming in the next release, and unfortunately, Thorolf is not able to participate to this meeting.
And also for A1, the plan is to implement A1 EI at the enrichment information in the RIC, near real-time RIC platform in D release.
Okay. Pardon my ignorance. Does the real-time RIC implement an O1 capability?
There is an O1 mediator in the near
real-time. At an eventual requirement, right?
Yes, there's an O1 mediator there. I'm not aware. Ritwik, did you say that the O1 spec is not out yet?
Yeah, I don't think they've implemented that. David knows best, I think, on the O1 side of the house.
So I think we have, if we have something in the near real-time, Rick, it's pre-spec.
Yeah.
I think it was somehow related to configuration management, if I remember correctly. So
Jack, the question, I understand the question, but the answer is not that simple, Jack, because I think there's no, a complete set of O1 requirements that we can just go and pick from Oran Alliance, say, go implement this. There's nothing like that. So unless somebody does that, we don't know what to take as baseline. What is okay. Baseline O1, if someone
this,
can
this,
tell
this
us?
This is a great conversation, right? Because yep. I think this is something that we should push back to Jinri to take back to the TSC to say, look.
As part of MVP, yeah.
What is the O1 baseline at this point?
Mm-hmm. For CM, FMPM, and FCAPS, essentially. All of it has to be stated at a minimum.
Mm-hmm. This is Martin. So the baseline are here the 3GPP young models, and then it comes back here to the copyright issue. And that's exactly the problem. So what I was reviewing, first implementation of the ODU NetConf server, and they had to use some kind of proprietary young models in order to have something implemented. because they also could not simply take the 3GPP YAML models and simply implement them. Yeah, so the baseline is here really the best message format that's well defined, that's kind of open source, it's public available. But here for the configuration, for getting alarm lists, everything which we targeting here is based on 3GPP YAML models.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So in that sense, that's specified this way. This is in the OEM interface specifications and so on. So it's not that there is nothing. It's just that that they depend on 3GPP, yeah, because the information model and data model is coming from 3GPP.
So yeah, so Ritwick, on the scorecard, you have to add a column that says, you know, blocked by, you know, this 3GPP. Issue. Right.
Okay.
But the question, I guess, Martin, is, and Ritwick, get together and talk. Is there other things that need to be specified around what?
No, I think for the use case which we are targeting, it's there might be. I asked the question, so what really we would like to set, like here, I just heard E2 reset and those kind of things. It may be that those are missing. It's easy for us to create these additional extensions if needed and contribute this then also back to Oran Alliance. The main problem is really that it starts the entire model and the entire YAML models, and which we need to extend these out from 3GPP. If we, now that was what I'm proposing for bronze release using other models like IETF and so on, then we are in this problem that we are not implementing Oran Alliance specifications for O1. Then we are implementing something else from functional point of view and from interfacing point of view or protocol point of view, that's still all valid, but the data models would be completely different. And then it could not be used for commercial products or something because it would not be Oran compliant.
So Martin, I think Working Group 10 has the charter to work this out, right?
I mean, the topic is not new, right? So yes, they are going to work this out, but they are trying to do this since the beginning of OLA.
Mm-hmm.
And so just creating a new working group would not solve the problem because these are the same people. So.
Right. But I think that, Ritwick, you asked the question that is there a minimum set this of is our requirement MVP should, for O1. Right. So talk to Martin and figure out where we're at in that. And then if there is a gap, then let's get the gap raised up through Jinri, mm-hmm. so we get an answer. But we need to have what I get is a sense that people are confused about what an O1 implementation is, where we are in that process. We need to get that clarified.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We need to say that we're 5% on O1 or 50% or O1, but the other, you know, we're 40% blocked by this. There needs to be some way that everyone here understands where we are on O1. I'm using that as an example across all our components.
And that's actually one of the points of clarification, because O1, if it's defined as, you know, model-based or model-driven, that's a very different answer than if O1 is defined as something else. So that'll definitely be covered by this new working group 10 or whatever during the face-to-face.
Yeah, it's just very hard for the software to make much progress if we ourselves don't understand where we're at. So we need that clarification. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. We're 6 minutes over. Does anyone have any other items that need to be, any other business that needs to be raised today? Okay. Well, we're at a critical point here. Next week, I'll focus primarily on the discussion about what's in D. release. We really need to focus. You know, I'm looking, Rick, you know, from the requirements team to really articulate what we're trying to do so that all the PTLs can have a clear direction on what we're focused on in this release. So thank you, everybody. Remember, Monday is, you know, the first set of meetings in ORAN. We'll go ahead with our Wednesday meeting next week. Thank you.